All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, for all you law students out there, sometimes it feels like you're drowning in a sea of legal concepts, right? Trying to keep your head above water with balancing rights and regulations. Well, today we're tossing you a legal life preserver. We're diving deep into a case that really highlights this tension. I'm talking about individual privacy, especially when it comes to minors.
Yeah, it's a tricky area for sure.
You've got the world of commercial ventures, you know, businesses trying to make a buck, and then you've got this bedrock principle of free expression.
The First Amendment.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all of these things kind of collide in this fascinating case, Lane v. MRA Holdings. So we're going to unpack this whole thing for you.
Yeah, I mean, this case, it really gets to the heart of where the lines are drawn, you know, when you have these really important legal concepts bumping up against each other. Like, where does personal privacy end and the freedom to create and share content begin?
Right. And to make things even more interesting, we're dealing with, well, let's just say it, footage of a 17-year-old during spring break that ends up in a Girls Gone Wild video.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique set of circumstances.
Definitely. So let's set the scene. Who is Veronica Lane?
So Veronica Lane was 17 at the time, and we're talking about spring break in Panama City Beach, Florida.
Okay, so classic spring break setting. What exactly happened that landed her in the middle of this legal battle?
Well, according to the court documents, she was on a public street, and she exposed herself in exchange for some beaded necklaces.
All right, so pretty typical spring break behavior, maybe with a little extra exhibitionism.
Right.
But this wasn't just some random person filming on their phone, right? This footage ended up somewhere a little more well-known.
Yeah, the footage ended up being used in Girls Gone Wild videos. Not just that, though. They also used it in advertisements and promotional materials for those videos, and that becomes a key point later on.
So Lane finds herself featured in these Girls Gone Wild productions, which, you know, have a certain reputation. What did she do about it?
Well, she didn't just let it slide. She filed a lawsuit.
Okay. Against who?
Against MRA Holdings. That's the company that was doing business as MRA Video. But she also went after a bunch of other related entities, like Mantra Films, AMX Productions, Ventura Distribution, and Woodholly Productions.
So she's going after the whole operation. What were her legal arguments?
Primarily, she claimed they violated Florida Statute Section 540.08. That's the law in Florida that protects people from having their image used for commercial purposes without their consent. So basically, she argued that they used her likeness without her permission to make money.
Makes sense. But this where it gets a little more complicated, right? What exactly does Florida Statute Section 540.08 say?
So the statute prohibits using someone's name, portrait, photograph, or likeness for trade, commercial, or advertising purposes without getting their consent. And the big question the court had to grapple with was, did using Lane's footage in the Girls Gone Wild videos, and especially in their advertising, actually count as a commercial purpose under this specific law?
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, it seems pretty straightforward. They used her image, they sold the videos. Seems like a commercial purpose to me. What's the catch?
Well, this is where the law gets a little more nuanced, especially when you're talking about media. The court had to figure out if selling a video that just happens to have someone's image in it is legally the same as using that person's image to specifically advertise or promote some other product or service. That distinction was really important in how the court approached this case.
I see. So, like, it's not just about the fact that the final product is being sold commercially. It's about how that specific person's image is being used within that context.
Exactly. It's like the difference between being an actor in a movie that's sold in stores versus having your face slapped on a billboard to sell shoes or something. You see what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And then on top of all of that, we have the whole issue of Lane being 17 at the time.
Right. That definitely adds another wrinkle to the case.
Because now you're dealing with the question of, even if the statute talks about consent, did she even have the legal capacity to give consent in the first place?
Exactly. I mean, she's a minor, so that was another big hurdle the court had to consider.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so the court's looking at the statute, the nature of the video, Lane's age, and the fact that she willingly participated. What was their final decision?
Well, the court ended up dismissing most of Lane's claims, and their reasoning really boiled down to something called the expressive work doctrine. Basically, they determined that even though the Girls Gone Wild video was sold for profit, it was still fundamentally an expressive work created for entertainment. Yeah, and because of that, they said that just including her image in this type of protected speech didn't automatically mean they were violating Florida Statute Section 540.08.
So the act of selling an entertainment product, even if it has someone's image in it, isn't automatically the same as using that image to endorse some other random product under this Florida law.
Exactly. And the court was very clear about this. They even said, quote, "It is irrefutable that the Girls Gone Wild video is an expressive work created solely for entertainment." That was a really key finding, not just for the claim under the statute, but it also heavily influenced how they handled the invasion of privacy claims, too.
Right, right. Okay, so what about the whole thing with this happening on a public street and Lane willingly exposing herself? How did the court factor that in?
The court put a lot of weight on the fact that this all went down on a public street during a very public event.
Spring break, yeah.
Exactly. She chose to participate in that activity and expose herself in front of a video camera in a public space. And that really weakened her argument for invasion of privacy. I mean, you generally have a lower expectation of privacy when you're out in public, right?
All right.
And as for the question of her age and consent, the court said that usually a 17-year-old is considered legally capable of giving consent. Unless there's a specific law that says otherwise.
Okay.
And in this case, they didn't find any specific law in Florida that would prevent someone her age from consenting to public exposure.
Gotcha. So it sounds like they were really emphasizing personal responsibility in the context of this all happening in public. But there was one claim that did survive, right?
You're right. Out of all her claims, the only one that moved forward was the fraud claim against AMX Productions.
AMX, the company that actually filmed her.
Yeah, and the reason that claim survived was because Lane argued that they lied to her about how they were going to use the footage. She claimed they told her it was just for personal use, which she argued was totally bogus. And the court decided that this raised a genuine question about whether AMX had tricked her into participating. So they said that specific part of the case needed to go to trial.
That's really interesting. So even when you're creating something that's considered an expressive work, if you're dishonest about how you're going to use the footage, you can still be held legally accountable.
Exactly. And I think that's a really important point for anyone who's thinking about working in media or content creation. You have to be honest and transparent, even when you're dealing with expressive content, because the law doesn't just disappear.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so stepping back a bit, it seems like the court was trying to find a balance.
Oh, absolutely. They were trying to weigh Lane's right to privacy against the filmmaker's right to free speech.
Which is a tough job.
Yeah. But in the end, they came down on the side of free speech in this particular case. They said the expressive nature of the video was more important than her privacy claims under Florida law. Except, of course, for that potential fraud issue.
Okay, so let's break these down for our listeners. Many of them are law students. What are the key takeaways from Lane v. MRA Holdings? Like, what are the big questions to ask when analyzing similar cases under this Florida law?
All right, great question. So I think this case highlights four really important factors.
Yep.
First, you got to look at whether the person's image is being used to directly promote a specific product or service.
So like a classic celebrity endorsement.
Exactly. Second, was the image part of a bigger creative work?
Like a movie, book, documentary, or in this case, an entertainment video.
Right. Third, did the person willingly participate in whatever was being filmed or photographed? And lastly, if we're talking about a minor, is there a specific law that says they can't legally consent? Those are the big questions to consider.
Really helpful. So what's the big overarching takeaway here?
Well, I'd say the main point is that simply having your image in a video or movie that's being sold doesn't automatically mean your rights have been violated under Florida Statute Section 540.08.
Okay.
The court was pretty clear that there's a difference between selling a video with someone's likeness in it and using their image to sell something totally unrelated, like those shoes we talked about. The first one is usually protected as free speech, but the second one might not be if you didn't get the person's consent. But, and this is a big but, the court also made it clear that you can't just lie about how you're going to use the footage. That's where the fraud issue comes in.
Right, right. It seems like this case has implications that reach far beyond just this one situation, especially for media and entertainment law. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. I think this case helps clarify what commercial purpose means under Florida law when we're talking about media. It suggests that simply including someone's image in a creative work isn't enough to trigger this law. There usually has to be a more direct connection, like using the person's image to sell something else. And it also emphasizes the idea that minors over 16 are generally considered capable of giving consent unless there's a law specifically prohibiting it. So that's another important point.
Absolutely. And I think this case also highlights the ongoing struggle that courts face when trying to balance individual privacy with First Amendment rights, especially in the ever-changing world of media.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I mean, think about it. It's easier than ever for anyone to record something and share it with the whole world. So it's a really complex issue, and the legal landscape is constantly evolving.
It makes you wonder, you know, what will the future hold for this area of law, especially for you law students out there who are going to be shaping that future? I mean, in a world where everyone has a camera in their pocket, how will the principles from Lane v. MRA Holdings apply? What new challenges will come up as technology advances even further? We're already seeing how social media and the internet are blurring the lines between traditional media and personal expression. So how will courts interpret commercial purpose going forward? These are all questions that are just starting to be explored.
Yeah, a lot to ponder for sure. Well, thanks for joining us today on The Deep Dive as we unpack this fascinating case. We really explore the ins and outs of Lane v. MRA Holdings, from the events that led to the lawsuit to the court's analysis and the key takeaways for understanding the law in this area. Hopefully, this deep dive has given you a better grasp on how privacy rights and expressive works intersect under Florida law.
Definitely a case worth studying, especially for anyone interested in media and entertainment law.
And join us next time as we tackle another landmark case that has had a huge impact on our legal system, Citizens United in the world of campaign finance. Until then, keep briefing.